You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey now, Matt Derry with you. Locked On Lions, Locked On Podcast Network. Let's plate it on this Thursday, December 17th, shall we? Into Friday, December 18th, a crossover Thursday. The great Tyler Rowland, the voice of the Locked On Titans podcast, will join us. I almost said Texans. Titans. It's Tennessee and Detroit on Sunday. Yes, the Derrick Henry train. He needs like 400 yards for 2,000 this year. He might get it. He might get it Sunday against the Leos. We'll talk to Tyler Rowland in the crossover coming up momentarily. Locked On Lions brought to you by Pepsi, made for football watching. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi is made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Coming up on the show today, three more confirmed candidates that the Lions are going to talk to about their vacant general manager position. I'll tell you what, Sheila Ford Hamp, Rod Wood, Chris Spielman, Barry, hey Dan. I mean, it's a cavalcade of GM candidates the Lions are going to be interviewing. Louis Riddick tomorrow. I'm excited. He's talking to the Texans today. And then three more candidates, it sounds like, next week. Outside candidates. We'll tell you about those momentarily. Also, the update on Matthew Stafford's condition and whether or not he will play on Sunday, and also Frank Ragnow as well. If you are new to the podcast, welcome. Thank you for listening and joining us. We're with you every day. We're with you following games for the post-game pod on Sundays. Find us on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions as well on Twitter, and on the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. All right, first things first. I think it was Tom Pelissero first from NFL Network this morning, tweeting it out first, that Thomas Dimitroff, recently fired as general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, is going to get an interview with the Lions sometime next week. Dimitroff, a former Patriots guy. He was a former scout for the Lions. Dimitroff helped build the Falcons, Matt Ryan, and that group that went to the Super Bowl a few years ago. But the Falcons have spiraled downward recently, and he was fired earlier this season by owner Arthur Blank, along with head coach Dan Quinn. Proven guy, but again, Patriots ties. So that causes some pause with some fans. I think you have to interview him. Thomas Dimitroff, a couple of years ago, is considered a very good general manager. So he's on the list. More reports about Rick Smith. And I want to clear up something that Kyle Meinke said from MLive yesterday, and I kind of also backed. Rick Smith was not fired by the Houston Texans a few years ago. His wife had cancer and passed away. He stepped away from the position. He was at the time the youngest general manager in football. But Rick Smith is going to get an interview with the Lions next week. The former Texans GM that, yes, did draft Deshaun Watson. And thirdly, it came out later this afternoon that Scott Pioli, yes, the mid-2000s hotness, Scott Pioli is going to interview for the Lions' vacant general manager job. You remember back in 09, Scott Pioli was like the guy. And won like executive of the year with the Patriots as he was Bill Belichick's right-hand man, then took over the 2-14 Chiefs. They won 10 games his first year. He fired Herman Edwards. He hired Todd Haley. And they went to the playoffs, and everything was great. And then 2 years later, in 2012, they went 2-14. There was player unrest. There was stuff off the field that was a problem. There was a player on the Chiefs during the season that committed suicide. Javon Belcher shot himself. It was a terrible, terrible year in 2012. They went 2-14, and Pioli got fired as general manager of the Chiefs. Again, inherited a team. They did well at first, but then he started 2-14, and they ended 2-14. He did win executive of the year with the Chiefs also in 2010 as they went from worst to first. He has Browns ties and Chiefs and Patriots. It's another Patriots guy. Like, Scott Pioli is your classic left the Patriots, and it was a disaster when he left where he went to Kansas City. It did not go well. Many people are going, oh, my gosh, not a former Patriot guy. But again, the Lions are doing their due diligence. They're going to interview everybody. Everybody. So we're talking the three guys in-house, Lewis Riddick, Rick Smith, Scott Pioli, Thomas Dimitroff. Why not? They can't interview the likes of Ed Dodds in Indianapolis or guys that are in the league right now, Trent Kirshner, guys like that, because they're with teams. And they have to wait till the end of the season to do that. But now, you know, talking to people that have experience, people that don't, like Riddick, in terms of GM experience, I don't have an issue with it. If the Lions were to hire Scott Pioli, I would have a big issue with it because, like I said, it's another Patriots guy that left New England and floundered. All right, he's basically Bob Quinn, except he won a division. Bob Quinn, of course, left the Patriots, came to the Lions, a couple of 9-7 years, but they never won the division. So there's that. Also, injury update. The following players did not practice today. Tyrell Crosby, Deshaun Hand, Frank Ragnow, Daryl Roberts, Matthew Stafford, and Kenny Galladay. Folks, Kenny Galladay is in a contract year. Why in God's name would he come back from a hip injury? He's been gone for 50 days. He's not going to play. Stafford, day-to-day, Daryl Bevel said no real update, that they'll wait until likely game time to make that decision. And if he doesn't practice this week due to the rib injury, so what? If he feels like he'll play and can play Sunday, you know they're going to put him out there. I'm against it, but I don't run the Lions. Daryl Bevel does. Frank Ragnow is interesting. Fractured throat. And they're not letting him talk basically all week, but they haven't ruled him out for Sunday. What a machine this guy is. He plays every week. If Frank Ragnow can't play, Joe Dahl would start at center. He spoke today and said he hasn't played center in years, but he's taken all the first-team reps this week. I forgot Joe Dahl was even on the team because Ode Abushi had taken his spot. And, you know, then Matt Nelson had played tackle and Abushi had stayed at guard. So Joe Dahl would play center Sunday if the Lions need him to against the Titans. And again, Tennessee at 9-4, we're going to talk about it coming up with Tyler. They're in the thick of the race in the AFC South to win it or make the postseason as a wild card team. So we're going to talk to Tyler, do the crossover next on here on a Thursday on Locked On Lions.
And it is time for our crossover Thursday conversation for, boy, how the season has flown. Week 15, and we are here with Matt from Locked On Lions. And obviously, I am Tyler with Locked On Titans, ready to begin our preparation here for this game. And going to dive right into the Lions side of things. The number one thing that Titans fans are going to be asking about or going to be worrying about is the health of some of the Lions' top players, specifically Matt Stafford, who's dealing with, I believe, a rib injury, and now we're getting the news of the fractured throat from Ragnow, the starting center, who's one of the better interior linemen in the league. So I guess, Matt, first things first, what kind of information might you have on these injuries, and what will the Lions do on offense at those two spots if those guys can't go?
Yeah, Tyler, appreciate it, man, and good talking to you. I think with the Lions and how this has gone, it seems like Matthew Stafford, unless he's having surgery or like is really, really, really hurt, he toughs it out and tries to play. He's not going to practice, I don't think, at all this week. He's still in a little bit of pain. I wouldn't rule out Sunday for him. Now, if you look at big picture, there's no reason with some fractures, you know, and everything else that he might have in his ribs, and the x-rays were negative, but if he's got even a small fracture in there, and they're calling it, you know, muscle, you're never going to get information from the Lions on what exactly this is. But the bottom line is he always wants to play, and they've always allowed him to play. Me, now that you're going to have a new regime next year, you're going to have a new general manager and a new coach. They added Chris Spielman to the mix to be in the front office. There's no reason to put him out there. They're 5-8. Now, Daryl Bevel, the interim head coach, has said, we still have 1% chance of making the playoffs. You know, we're still hanging around. We're still playing to win. But to me, I would play Chase Daniel this week, next week, and the week after, and let Matthew Stafford heal. But there's a pride factor with him. He's been here 12 years, and it wouldn't stun me if he didn't practice all week, but somehow with a flap jacket or something was out there playing on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the one thing about Matt Stafford. He's actually one of those guys that me personally, I've always been a big fan of Stafford. I think that his talents are a little bit underrated, and obviously the circumstances he's been in throughout his career, I feel like maybe he could have had, you know, more heights and displayed that talent a little bit more in a better circumstance. But either way, he is one of the tougher guys in the NFL, and that's obviously at the quarterback position, which is the biggest thing of concern. But there are other injuries, like I mentioned, Ragnow, like I mentioned on the show earlier this week, Kenny Golladay has missed a lot of weeks in a row here. What do you think the Lions might do on offense to attack this Tennessee Titans defense that is not very good in their own right, whether healthy or not?
Yeah, this should be a high-scoring game if Stafford plays. Ragnow, by the way, you mentioned fractured throat. Amazing. He played through it. Got injured, Tyler, in the first quarter of the game this past Sunday against the Packers. Couldn't talk and just thought he was hoarse or something, and it turned out his throat got fractured. But he's been a top five center in the NFL this year.
If you
believe PFF, and he and Taylor Decker on the offensive line have been very good. The rest have not. But I think if Stafford is healthy and somehow plays with DeAndre Swift coming back, the offense has been pretty good. And that's without Kenny Golladay. T.J. Hockenson, the tight end, has had a really nice year. So I think they'll score some points. If Chase Daniel's playing, that's a huge drop-off. It's not as big of a drop-off as it was a year ago when the Lions had no backup quarterbacks and Stafford got hurt. Daniel's better, but Golladay I don't think is going to play. He hasn't played in 45 days. I mean, he's been out a while with this hip injury. He's also in a contract year as a free agent. I don't anticipate him getting back out there for these last three games. So attacking the Titans defense, I think it'll be through the air. The Lions haven't shown a consistency running the football much, but with Swift, that's a guy that I think that will run the ball, catch the ball out of the backfield. You throw in Hockenson at tight end and Marvin Jones at receiver. Those are the guys probably to watch for Sunday.
Yeah, and quite frankly, that's enough talent on the offensive side of the ball. I think even without Stafford, even if Daniel does play, that's enough talent to take advantage of this porous Titans defense. And speaking of defense, going to kind of flip the conversation over to the Lions defense. And, you know, just in my brief tape study that I started this week, obviously you're the expert on the team, so I want to get a little bit more context with you, but it doesn't seem like this Lions team blitzes very often. It seems like they prefer to just send their four, maybe try to sit back in coverage. They have some of the least amount of sacks in the league this year with only 18. So why are they not doing more to send pressure, or do you think that is the right route to go by sitting back in coverage? Why are they playing defense that way, and do you think that they'll do that against the Titans as well?
Well, first off, Tyler, the defense stinks, all right? It's not very good. and you take in the equation now their best pass rusher in terms of their highest paid, Trey Flowers, has been out. He won't play Sunday. Everson Griffin has COVID, so he's out. He's been a nice pickup. They don't bring a lot of pressure. That was the Matt Patricia way, kind of rush three, drop eight. It's been a little bit more now that Patricia's been fired. Corey Unlin has done a little bit more blitzing, but not that much. It's not like they're Blitzburg here or anything like that. They just don't have the horses. You know, Romeo Okwara's had a nice year, but if you believe PFF, he's only the 67th best edge in the league.
I don't know about that. If you watch the tape, it's hard to come out of that thinking he's a 60th.
Right. No,
you know, ranked.
He's had a nice year. But a lot of it comes in bunches. They just don't get to the quarterback. They haven't gotten to the quarterback in years consistently. Aaron Rodgers had all day to throw last week. And then you throw in Jeffrey Okuda, Desmond Trufant, two of their top corners out. It's been rough sledding. The linebacking core, not named Jamie Collins, is not very good. So there will be, you know, if you're the Lions and you're like, wait a minute, Derrick Henry? I mean, that dude could go for 200 this week, easy. You take Danny Shelton out of the mix. He's also hurt and on IR. He's their best run stuffer at nose tackle. It could be a long day for the Lions defensively.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, you reminding me of all of the pieces that they are missing right now. I think any Titans fan listening to this is thinking in their head that the Titans should win this game. But if the Lions are able to win this game against the Titans, what do you think that game would look like?
Probably a miracle. I mean, it would have to be a special teams play, maybe Jamal Agnew with a return. The Lions have blocked a couple of punts this year. They'd have to win the special teams game. Jack Fox has done a great job as a punter in pinning teams back. It would have to be a turnover-type game and a game where the Lions got the run game established and Stafford played. I honestly, Tyler, don't see, if Stafford doesn't play, any chance of the Lions winning this football game Sunday. They're just, Tennessee is a superior team and the Lions are on the road.
Yeah, and all of that makes sense, and I'm not going to sit here and act like what you're saying isn't the case, but what I do know is that the Titans, for some strange reason, have the ability to play as bad as possible against teams they should beat and as good as possible against teams they should lose to. So while everything you said is true, I would not rule out that miracle that you were talking about. But Matt, one thing that is for certain is we don't get to talk very often with you being in the NFC and me being over in the AFC. So while I have you on the line, and we may not get to talk this offseason either since our divisions won't be playing next year, while I do have you as we, you know, get out of this first segment and head into the other portion of our conversation, what would you like to see for the future of the Detroit Lions at head coach? What do you think that they do now moving away from Matt Patricia?
You know, I really like the news yesterday of Lewis Riddick interviewing for the team on Friday. I've been a big Lewis supporter for years. I pushed for him to be the general manager 4 or 5 years ago before Bob Quinn got the job. 5 or 6 years ago, excuse me. Head coach-wise, I think Robert Saleh from the Niners, a Detroit guy, is going to have an excellent chance at this thing. But the bottom line is it has to start from the very top. Ownership, President Rod Wood, now Chris Spielman, they've got to get it right. They've got to be on the same page. They've got to find a good talent evaluator in here who can bring in the scouting staff. They need to blow up what's currently there and get on track. And I also think they have to move on from Matthew Stafford and draft a young quarterback. It may be ugly the next couple of years, but at least you're building something. Bob Quinn's drafts over the last few years have not worked out, and there's not a lot of good young talent on this team. There's some, but there's not enough.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I also am a really big fan of Lewis Riddick. I would be upset, though, that we finally got a decent Monday Night Football booth, and then they're ripping out Lewis Riddick right out of that trio. So that, just from my perspective, selfishly, that's how I see it. But I think that would be a fantastic pick. We are going to move into the second portion of this Crossover Thursday. I am going to get in the hot seat, answer some questions from Matt about the Tennessee Titans.
Matt Derry, Tyler Rowland with you. Locked on Lions, locked on Titans. It's a Thursday crossover. Detroit going to Tennessee, where, of course, the Titans are tied for first place at 9-4 with the Colts. They've got the tiebreaker right now. Tyler, what's the mindset down there about what's going on with this Titan team? From afar, you look up and you go, man, they go into Indy and just dominate the Colts. Derrick Henry, Tannehill, they look great. That's the best team in the South. And then the week later, you know, the Browns pulverize them at home. And so it's been an up-and-down year, yet here they are. They've still won 9 games. They've got a coach that many felt the Lions should have hired, Mike Vrabel. What's the mindset right now with 3 games to go?
Well, I think overall, if you asked a Tennessee Titans fan, they would tell you they're satisfied. They're happy. We came from a very rough 5, 6, 7 year stretch before John Robinson, the Titans general manager, took over this team in the offseason of 2016. So for the last 5 years, the Titans have had a winning record. It's been 9-7 with 2 playoff appearances and a deep playoff run before. This year, people were expecting the Titans to take that step forward, become a division winner. The Titans hadn't won the division since 2008. Become a division winner, have a home playoff game, and that might give you the extra bump you need to get over the Kansas City Chiefs hill in the AFC. So the Titans are still on track for that. But I think a performance like you mentioned with the Browns, hearkening back to that loss against the Bengals, which is just staring the Titans in the face, is something they could not allow to happen. And now they're neck and neck with everyone else in the AFC and the Colts in the division. So what the Titans have proven is while they are a good team now, they're a consistent good team, a playoff team pretty consistently, whether that be a 9-7 wild card, 10-6 somewhere in there. The reality, though, is after seeing, you know, games like the Bengals, games like the Browns, the Titans aren't a great team yet. They're not with the Chiefs. They're not. I know the Steelers have looked rough lately, but I have faith that they'll get things back on track before the playoffs. The Steelers, the Packers, the Saints. I wouldn't put the Titans in the top number one tier of teams, that top five or six teams, but I think they're in the tier right behind that. And in any given day, they can go up to the top of that tier. They can go all the way down to the bottom of that tier. So that's the general feeling here. But if the Titans are able to utilize some of the help that they might be getting in the secondary this week or next week, then maybe they can improve on defense enough to jump into that top tier of teams heading into the playoffs. But right now, the general feeling is the Titans are a pretty good team, but they're not a great team.
You mentioned the defense, and you talked about it in the last segment. Mike Vrabel has always been a defensive-minded coach. They've been a physical defense for years, guys flying around the football. What's the problem this year?
Yeah, so it's a combination of factors, as any football fan would know. You can't just pinpoint it's this, it's that, one or the other. But early on in the season, it was everything. The Titans were struggling in coverage. They didn't have the personnel on the outsides due to injuries. They had Jonathan Joseph, who's 36 years old and should be out of the NFL, quite frankly. They had Chris Jackson, who was a seventh-round rookie, who, while he was actually playing, was graded as the worst cornerback in the NFL, 115 out of 115 per Pro Football Focus. Again, however much stock you put in their player grades, but I think that grade was accurate, in my opinion, based on the tape as well. So the Titans didn't have a lot in the secondary that allowed them to play good enough coverage for their pass rushers like Harold Landry, like Jadeveon Clowney at the time, to get home. So coverage was an issue. But then the Titans had to cut Vic Beasley, which is justified. I think they should have done that. I'm not calling that a mistake. The mistake was signing him. Jadeveon Clowney went on injured reserve with the knee injury. Again, I don't think it was a mistake to sign Clowney. That was the right move. It's just unfortunate he couldn't stay healthy. So you lose two pass rushers there. The rest of the pass rushers outside of Harold Landry are essentially no names for the NFL community outside of Tennessee. So what happened was halfway through the season, it flipped. The Titans got Desmond King with a trade to play slot cornerback. They brought in Breon Borders, who was a practice squad guy, but ended up playing very well in his time. Now the Titans got Ty Smith in, who's been in the organization for a few years, and he had a great game on Sunday. So when the Titans improved in the secondary, they started doing worse and having less bodies in the pass rush. So they can't get pass rush and coverage to be good both at the same time. And what happens there is basically both things fall apart simultaneously. So I think the Titans have also had some coaching issues with alignment. You know, you're talking about pressing up on wide receivers, which guy's going to be back, which guy's going to be forward, down in distance. You know, why are we playing 12 yards back on third and four? An easy out completion for 5 yards gets you to first. So there's coaching problems. There's issues with the talent in the pass rush, and there's issues with health in the secondary. Those are the main three reasons why the Titans are struggling on defense.
Tyler Rowland, the voice of Locked On Titans. Matt Derry, Locked On Lions, a Thursday crossover. All right, we talked about it before. I mean, Derrick Henry is having another monster year. To me, if you're Tennessee, and you know, their offensive coordinator is a guy that many people feel could be a head coach in Arthur Smith very soon, I would think, looking at what the Lions do against the run, that this is going to be the Derrick Henry show on Sunday. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, we are to a point in the season where you get to stop worrying about managing his load. You get to stop worrying about carries and you know, spelling him. Now is the time. The season's on. And where the Titans are at and how tightly contested the AFC is, the Titans are 9-4 leading the AFC, but one bad week could have them out of the playoff picture and looking in. If the Dolphins win a game, if the Browns win another game,
Baltimore, yeah,
win a game,
yeah,
Baltimore wins another game, the Titans are 2 weeks away from being out of the playoffs completely, despite the way things look now. And they put themselves in that position. So with that in mind, you can't mince any words. You can't hold anything back. You know, you got to put all your chips out on the table and go all in. And that includes giving the ball to Derrick Henry 30 to 35 times, if that's what it takes. I'm not one of these guys who does if he gets to this many carries, when Derrick Henry rushes for 100 yards, the Titans are this record. That, to me, that's they're able to run the ball because they're winning, not they're winning because they run the ball. So, but that's a different philosophical debate for a different day. But I think the reality is with the way that the Lions defense is, like you talked about, Danny Shelton being out, Everson Griffin being out, Trey Flowers being out, major key parts of their front seven and their defensive line, the Titans have no reason to go away from Derrick Henry here. The Lions are better than the Jags, but they're still not good enough to stop the best running back in the NFL, especially in what Titans fans like to call DeHenber. So, yeah, I would expect to get a heavy dose of Derrick Henry, which includes a heavy dose of tight ends. The Titans have four really solid tight ends. Yeah. Anthony Firkser, who's more of a pass-catching guy. Jonnu Smith, who does it all. Jeff Swaim and also Michael Pruitt, who are kind of versatile guys, utility guys who do a little bit of everything. Expect to see a lot of the Tennessee Titans tight ends in this game to go along with Derrick Henry running the ball.
Well, that'll be troublesome for the Lions, who've had their issues with tight ends over the years. Like I said, the linebackers, just not great cover people, and neither are the safeties. Tyler, was a lot of fun, man. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent, and I appreciate all of the information. Don't talk, obviously, with you, Matt, a lot, so anytime we can get together, talk some ball, and learn a little bit more about either's team, it's a great time. Appreciate it.
Tyler Roland, Locked On Titans. Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. It's the Thursday crossover.